Blog Talk Radio.
I love my mother so. She's sweet, so sweet. I wouldn't be here without my mother.
Mother gave me life.
I'd do anything for my mother.
Mother gave me life.
I got nothing but love for my mother.
Mother gave me life.
So don't you talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Brothers for Real radio show. Lord have mercy, where have you boys been this long? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brothers for Real radio show.
You can say things like, tune to 95.7 FM, tune to satellite cancel.
Sorry about that, fellas.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you know, welcome to the Brothers for Real radio show. As you can see, we've gotten a little rusty since the last show we had. Hey, Robert. Hey, Curtis. How y'all doing, brother?
Hey, man. Hey, man. Hi, Robert.
And the brothers, I don't forget how this thing works, man. How do we
talk on the phone?
Folks can hear us.
Yeah, they can hear us now. Yeah, they can hear us.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they can hear us now.
What a wonderful medium.
Isn't it?
Right. Isn't it? Might be all right.
There's so much going on, man. We just had to come back in and say hello to everybody for a minute. Thank all our folks who check us out. Been traveling around the world with us as we try to sing. Brother, the name of this show, the subject of this show tonight is The Reason Why We Sing. I remember that song by Kirk. Why We Sing. But before we get into that, there's so much going on in the world today. I was just looking into a Black Voters Matter Zoom meeting they have going on right now, a live meeting they have going on right now, discussing how these people are removing books from the shelves that have been on the shelves for centuries, talking about just because they say it makes white folk look bad. That kind of stuff. Isn't that something? So I'm going to say this right quick. I'm going to go ahead and say this since I mentioned the words Black Voters Matter in that same sentence. I still hear too many young African-Americans say Nah, voting ain't that cool. I don't really do that voting. I don't vote. I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up. When you say that, you're turning your life over. I mean, you're basically turning your life over or your freedom over to somebody else's, for somebody else's decision. Look at. Excuse me. Anyway, does that make sense, what I just said? You're turning your life over. I mean, because these guys, once they get in control of your government, that's it. That's your freedom. They're the ones who control your freedoms. So why are you going to say it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter. Oh, man, I can't. I get so frustrated with that. Ah. Go ahead, somebody else. Somebody else talk. I got frustrated.
Hello, everybody. I'm Minister Curtis Gatewood. I'm leaving Durham, North Carolina. I deliberately took photos in front of the North Carolina Mutual building so it can serve as my backdrop for this history, this legacy that has come to an end as of October 22nd, 2022. Well, October 2022. The history that's in that building is just so grand and so hurtful. It is like the last burial or the tombstone of the Black Durham Wall Street. You know, it's just, you know, and not too far from it is this big deteriorating jail that pretty much has been built probably in the last, 20 years. This big, tall, deteriorating jail, which is about now the same height of the North Carolina Military Building, that's basically probably be tore down or some white entity, probably Duke, I don't know who the players are, who now have this building. But we just do not seem to understand, Leon, I guess to piggyback on what you're saying about voting and about so many other things as they pertain to our history, our legacy, and so many people died so that we can have opportunities, whether it be to cast votes, whether it be to build a tall building downtown, to build colleges, universities throughout the South. I don't know the last time we built a North Carolina Mutual. I don't know the last time we built a North Carolina Central University. I know a lot of us live in the North Carolina Central Prison, but a North Carolina Central University, all these black colleges, and now we're talking about whether people want to vote. We're just dying all over the streets, communities, just shooting and killing. The churches are pretty much just rolled up their doors and counting the money and going to the bank and walking over the dead bodies. I mean, Leon, we are just such a disappointment to our ancestors. We are just such a disappointment to the legacy. One thing I am glad I did, when I first went to Durham, Leon and Robert, I'm not sure if you all are familiar with the history, I actually got a job at Mechanics and Farmers Bank. That was my first job in Durham. I was getting paid not very much money at all. But I was just so proud to be working at one of those institutions. And what they did me a favor. They sent me to work as like the one-man teleoperator in the lobby of North Carolina Mutual. So I'm there enjoying both legacies. I'm working for Mechanics and Farmers Bank inside the lobby of the North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Building. And that is where I met Durham. And whether people love me or not, whether they love me or hate me, they can always say, when I met Durham right there, I became one of the leaders of Durham that they will never forget. That's
Curtis,
my story for right now.
Curtis, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to say this, Robert. I worked for North Carolina Mutual for 5 years. That was the first real job I had. Before that, I was selling vacuum cleaners, shoes, mops, or whatever
right.
I could do.
Right.
donuts, you know, right. whatever. So right. I worked for North Columbus for 5 years. And the proudest line I used during our sales presentations was, North Carolina Mutual is the largest black financial institution in America.
Correct. And I think at one time it became the world. But yeah.
That was my pride. So, folks, here's what I want to say. Here's what I'm going to say. I didn't mean for us to get this deep quickly, but this is what I want to say, people. We are allowing ourselves to just fall asleep. We're allowing ourselves to be led into the ditch because we're not sticking up. We're allowing people that are not leaders to lead. And we're not being leaders in our own families. We're allowing our children to listen to whatever they want to do, go wherever they wanted to go. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to lead our children to greatness. The Maasai tribe asked how are the children every morning because they wanted to know. Because they wanted to know, they wanted to be remain the most powerful tribe. And the only way you can be powerful and remain powerful is continue to train your children. Raise your children up in the way they should go. That is the only way. And as long as we allow our children to continue to listen to whatever they want to listen to, watch whatever they want to watch, go wherever they want to go, we're messing up. Hey, Robert, chime in, man.
Hey, bro.
Deeper than I meant to this morning.
And, bro, your brothers are getting very deep, but it's very fitting considering the state of black America right now. And I didn't know both you guys worked over at the North Carolina Central, North Carolina Mutual. That was a little history I wasn't aware of. But all of that to say, I'm steeped in history today about the fact that we're on the eve of Mother's Day. And we're also celebrating a somber anniversary, the passing of our dear mom. I think the anniversary will be on a couple of days. And I think the significance of that is when we talk about role models and history and where we're going, we have to take a hard look at the mothers and their contributions and the importance of supporting them with some of the challenges they're facing right now trying to raise some of these kids out here. I don't want to become a Bill Cosby and talk about some of all the challenges that we have in our community. But there are some challenges. And the brothers have to step up. When I say brothers, I don't just mean the brothers for real. I mean the black men all over the country. And we're seeing a dismantling of our community right before our eyes. I was watching some of these horrible scenes of young black men and women going into stores like Walmart and jewelry stores and technology stores and just grabbing anything they want and just run out the door. In some cases, they don't even run. They just walk out the door. Now, that's not us. That's not who we are as a people. That is what we're becoming. But we have to right this. We have to stop this. This is not representative of the strong race of people that we claim to be. We can't just be talking about how great we were, how great we are, how great we were last year when the 60s, when Dr. King was around, or when we built the pyramids. We've got to be great right now.
That means we're supposed to be 10 times greater now.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be going backwards.
Right.
So we have a confluence of a lot of things that's happening. So the timing on this show is actually very good. First of all, I want to say peace and blessings to all of the mothers, and we understand all the challenges that you're facing, and we thank you for bringing us a mighty long way. And once again, I want to pay homage to my dear mom who passed in May, I think it was 2021. And to all the mothers, so we want to look at all the things that are coming together on this month of celebration of the mothers who are here, honoring and paying homage to our dear mom who left, to the challenges that are facing our community. Y'all young people need leadership. So whether
yes.
you're a mother, or you're the son of a mother, daughter of a mother, sister of a mother, all hands on deck. We have so much work to do. It's mind-boggling. But everybody can do something where they are. Don't just wait on the next AJ on K March or the next March on Washington or the next rally. You need to be doing something today, something tomorrow. When we come together at these meetings, we just need to get together for inspiration and some direction. But don't let that be the reason. The only reason you decide to do something is waiting for an annual march. Let these marches and gatherings inspire us, direct us, collect our spirits, speak with one or as few voices as necessary to make sure we're pointing our energies in the right direction. But we can't wait. We have to be doing something today. You have to look around, listen, pay attention to what's going on around you and say, where can I step in to help right this situation? What can I do? So that's my message today is that I want to honor the mothers, our mother, and I want to take this opportunity, if we don't do anything else, to honor the mothers is to make sure that the next generation of children are befitting title of being the descendants of all these great women that have come before us.
Amen.
So that's the way I want to start this year.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Well, that is a applause. Hold on, man. That's how we got the applause.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So, Robert Curtis.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about some other things, but I cried so hard to get off this. I am so moved today. And I don't know why it's so today, but I think it's because I keep seeing all this stuff in the news about these people doing stuff. And the reason they're doing it is because people are allowing them to be elected. They're about to get to the point where they will get in there and won't come out. So you ain't not even going to be able to vote them out after a while. So it's it's critical. It's crucial. And
hey,
yes, sir.
Can I just say one more word on that? But what you're saying is so I don't think people realize. Well, maybe some do. They maybe just don't give a darn or they don't know what to do. What is happening is that these people in power are really creating a system where they are building permanent positions
right.
where they can't be removed under the current laws. They are creating the laws that's making themselves irreplaceable.
Right.
That is so dangerous. You can't wait until... So if you're sitting on the sidelines not voting or saying, well, this stuff doesn't matter or things seem to work or help, that's not the right attitude. I'm just going to tell you because it could be a lot worse, and it will be worse. I'm just telling you right now. It will get worse than it is right now just based on what they've already done. We've seen that with the Supreme. We've seen that in the Supreme Court. Look no further than the Supreme Court. We've got this 6-3 majority in the Supreme Court. You can't. If the law goes to the Supreme Court, it's toast. It's over. Go ahead, Dion.
It's over. Robert, and I tell my young people this right here. I said, you know why they don't care about you? I said, they said they don't care about them. I said, they don't. I said, because you're insignificant. You've allowed yourself to become insignificant. You don't vote. You ain't got no money. So why do they have to listen to you? Why should they care about you? Because what they want to do is get elected. And if you won't vote and you won't contribute to campaigns, I'm just saying that. I'm not trying to encourage people to contribute to campaigns. What you really need to do is vote. But I'm just saying, if you won't do that nor vote, why do they need to listen to you? Why do we even worry about what you say or how you feel? You're not going to vote. You're not going to vote me out?
And Leah.
Yes, sir.
And Leah, it is a proven fact that people will not help you if you don't help yourself.
It's a fact.
If you're not willing to help yourself, you're not going to get any help from anybody else. That's just human nature. It's like, why am I putting myself on the line to help you, and you won't even help your darn self?
And you won't even vote. You won't even vote. They look at the stats all the time. That's what they look at. These Negroes are not voting. I ain't got to worry about them. I don't have to say anything for them. I don't have to do anything for them.
Yeah.
They're going to maybe come out here in March after a while about it, but that's too late. It's too late.
We got it, Robert.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to get start toward the solution side, and I just want to say this.
Yep.
First of all, I do want to say something about my mama. You know, I was kind of touched by that song we started with, by the way, Daniel. Beautiful song. I also listened to Tupac's Dear Mama song as well. Any song about mama, you know, it makes me think about my mama. And my heart was a lot closer to my mama than, you know, some might realize. And it really, you know, this is a very touching time for me. We'll spend more time talking about mama one of these shows during this month. So right now, just let it be known to all the mothers and to my mama, you are so special. If somebody hadn't told you lately that you are special, please hear me. You are special. And I need to say this to men as we talk about solutions. Robert Leon and everybody under the sound of my voice, black men need to wake up or get put up their butt. Black men, wherever you may be, you need, now if you're doing the right thing right now, don't worry about what I'm saying. I always say that a lot of times the hit dog will be the one to holler. But if you hit and you holler, I really don't care. But black men, Robert and Leon, this is the problem. The women are not causing the problem right now. I was just looking at our, I'm just going to just do Stop Killing Us for a minute. In our Stop Killing Us audience, it has a breakdown of who's listening, who's participating, and who's not. In our Stop Killing Us Solution campaign, the audience of 863 followers and supporters, 73% are women. And the impact of gun violence on our community is particularly devastating to black men. They're not even listening to what we are saying. They're not even coming to the meetings. They're not even coming to the rallies. They're not even coming to the churches. Sometimes it's because, you know, we got good black men who are working two or three jobs. I get that. We got some who were systematically trapped into prisons. I get that. But too many black men are not participating. I'm not here to say you should leave your house. That's between you and your spouse and whatever religious beliefs you may have. But you should at least be participating in the house and the community. You know, you should be at least participating. It's up to your spouse and up to your situation on how you would lead. But at least participate. And that is one of the main problems we're having. These young boys are out here, basically they're being raised by women. Basically they are out here just, you know, the woman is carrying the load, basically. And the black man is missing in action. Now, a lot of it, again, is systemic. I get that. But those of us, our men who are in their right minds, when we talk about rebuilding the village, it's really going to mean black men are going to have to step up. Black men. And that is, you know, because, again, we are being killed. We are being systematically imprisoned. We are targeted. We are the first ones shot when the police arrive. Yet we are not participating in the rectification that is needed to save our community. It's a shame. And so we're going to have to speak to men in our community. I don't know how we reach them. I don't know how. But that I have finally just figured it out. Black men will have to step up. They're no longer participating in churches. That might be understandable because, you know, I don't even go to church a lot of times now because of so much corruption in the church. But you just go and you'll see a group of women. Go to a march, for the average march, you're going to see a group of women. Go to a community meeting, you're going to see a group of women predominantly.
Good.
Black men, where are you? Wake the hell up.
Good.
Wake up. We are dying. Your children are dying. And when you leave this earth prematurely, you're leaving behind those children and those women who are needing us as a form of protection for the community and the home. And if we are not providing that protection in the community and the leadership that's needed in the community and home, who will? Who will?
Okay. This is what I'm going to assume. Men who are participating are not feeling that you're saying. You know, of course, that's what you said in the beginning. The hit dogs probably will holler if you're talking about black men. Like I said, I don't feel what you're saying, and I'm assuming men who are actually participating won't. But this is what I want to say. Women school bus drivers down here, man.
They're doing everything.
Hey, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
All the school bus drivers women now, man.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling you on that whole discussion. But yeah, you do have to ask yourself. And I can feel the passion and courage in his voice. And he's not denigrating black men. He's saying that we need more people. Many are doing the right thing.
Right.
We need more people to join in. We need more people to get off the sidelines and realize that it's not just about you. It's about your family. It's about your mothers and sisters and sons and daughters. They need you.
Yep.
That's
we need you in the village. We need to rebuild the village. We need black men to help to rebuild the village. We need black men to help to take the load off the women, some of the women that are working these two or three jobs and still having to come home to two or three children.
Curtis, and
it's real, man.
Curtis and Robert, these women, this is I'm going to tell the story. I was wanting to do, I'm going to do it now since we brought this up. I had said months or years ago, I can't remember which one, it was a pretty good while ago. We're going to have, because I got up at 5:30 one morning, went outside, and the school bus was out there, lights were out there flashing outside the door. I see people up already, the school bus driver's already on the road. And this is a fact, man. I can't find a man driver. There might be some out there. Don't get me wrong, brothers. I know if you hear me, you say I drive one. But look, every school bus I meet in the morning is a woman driving it. What in the heck is going on? I wouldn't have signed up to drive a bus.
Let me put this out here. Let's enter this world of supposedly. That's rhetorical speaking. Suppose the men said, look, I got something better going on for me. I want to own the bus. I want to do something that's more, that pays better or something that's more, what do you call it, one of these boss jobs where I can wear a tie or tell people what to do.
Right.
Yes, sir. I'm trying. Go ahead.
Talk about something else.
Yes, sir.
Talk about something else.
Hey, Leon. Now you know I'm a professor, right? And
I do.
I've been saying all the years I've been teaching. I sound like a broken record to you probably. What have I always been telling you over these years?
Yeah, number women
is that.
Number women
ain't
in the
no
class.
Brothers in the class.
And then I had to remind
class
you.
Is like,
what did I remind you of, though, Robert?
Leon tried to check me, y'all. He said, look, you running in during class. I said, my bad. But.
Women in their classes, man. And he up there. Man, you teaching the class.
Well, maybe that's what's going on with the bus driver. Maybe the brothers is running
one is hiring the sisters and training them and giving them support.
No.
Am I being overly optimistic here?
What time stamp is this?
We don't want to be patriarchal either. Because these women are leading, and they're the women that's doing it. Some of these women are leading the schools, leading the bus transportation system. So the men.
No, I'm not saying women aren't doing it. I'm saying in Leon's example, maybe like the example he used for me. He said, Robert, you're complaining that there are no brothers in the class, but a brother is running the class. So you got to give the brother, the category called brothers, some credit for that. But
you had to give him 1 point. You had to give a brother 1 point. You had to give a brother.
Just 1 point, though.
2 points.
But
maybe.
Check this out, Leon. Check this out. Because I'm telling you what's been encouraging. And I know my little world of a petri dish, it's no representation of what's going on in the greater society. But this semester, when I started my course, I had like 20 people in the last class I taught last week. Leon, it was about 50% brothers. I think about 40% brothers. And I was so enlightened. I was so inspired that I started looking around and saying maybe things are shifting and the rest of the world just hadn't caught up yet. Maybe there's a wave coming. Maybe what Curtis is talking about, what Leon is talking about, maybe it's a little on the back end of the curve, but there's a wave coming. Maybe the pandemic, we know it brought in a lot of craziness, a lot of people shooting each other and stealing and being petty. But maybe we come out of this with a new attitude. After, you know, when things get really, really bad, sometimes that makes it, that's the beginning. What, the darkest hour come before day? Maybe we've been through that darkest hour. I'm just hoping that that's the case. I have no empirical data to suggest that that's happening, only what I'm observing.
Well, Leon, I just want to give just a little bit of empirical data about shooting, because that's where I'm trying to become an expert, not an expert shooter, but an expert analysis.
Martin is all right. Martin Pellegrin.
But look, I just want to say this. In 2022, I'm just going to take Philadelphia, for example, because we have a strong representative in Philadelphia. Every 67 black men between the ages of 18 to 24, they are killed. 67. Now, that's not many. That's not many in Philadelphia to have one killed in every 67. You know, in Rochester, New York, it goes down. One in every 50 black men are being killed. In Cincinnati, one in every 44 black men are being killed. And it gets drastically reduced as I go. And then I just want to say this, and it's leading kind of to what we're going to talk about, hopefully, before we get off the phone. Small towns are no better. That is why this year we're going to be in Wadesboro, and we'll talk about that later on. But my point is, it is imperative that black men become more visible in the streets, in these organizations, leading some of these churches. You can't just stop and say, well, I don't want to go to church anymore, and so I'm just going to turn it over to the wolves or to what Jesus would refer to as a hireling. If you are conscious and you believe that the church should be doing better, I think what we need to do is go back to the church and help to guide the church if we are righteous. The same for our organization. The same for being a part of the electoral process. We can't give up on the electoral process. We have to go back and help to guide people and give people a reason to vote. Not just say vote, but look, say I'm running or I know somebody that's running that's going to address these issues right here to thee. These are the issues that are impacting you, your children, your brother, your cousin, your mama, whatever. And we are going to participate in the electoral process because we see this particular agenda can be addressed if we were to vote for fill in the blank. So I'm just saying we are going to have to become capable of reinserting ourselves back into the process because we lost hope. Let's just admit it. We lost hope. We had reasons to lose hope. We saw a lot of, you know, stuff that were not changing on our watch. But we also have to re-embrace that faith. We say, you know, that we may not see it. Sometimes we have to walk by faith and not by sight. That is why faith is so important, because you will give up quickly. And I think over the years, our faith has diminished, and we are becoming a faithless generation. And that is why you're seeing so much shooting and killing, because when you lose that faith, when you no longer believe that there is something larger up looking down on you, a greater source of strength, a greater source of power beyond white supremacy or beyond the jealousy that's on your job, when you can look to a higher place, I think we've underestimated the power of faith and that spiritual wealth that kept us building Mechanicsville Pharma Bank, kept us building North Carolina Mutual, kept us building North Carolina Central University, even when we were facing the most horrific form of terrorism and racism. We were still out there outperforming the oppressor. And so until we re-energize ourselves and reinsert ourselves into the home, into the electoral process, into the church, into the organization, until we do that, we're going to continue to see this deterioration.
Yeah. You know, as you were speaking, I was thinking about, if we want to look for a cause, a source of inspiration, we can look no further than what happened down in Tennessee, where we had Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, where they defied the odds. They decided that, look, you might have the gavel, you might have the power, you might have the overwhelming majority, but we're not going to accept that as a reason to do nothing. They're right. Saying they were playing against a stacked deck. They're saying, basically, look, we will break the deck. We will throw the deck out and start over. We're not going to accept it. That's a good example of inserting yourself in a process that is corrupt.
Exactly.
Where there seems like there's no hope. But you can't.
Exactly.
So, Curtis, that really got me to thinking, they are the paragon. They are the example of how black men can conduct themselves. You know that the cause is stacked against you. You know that probably zero chance what you're talking about is going to work according to the way the chairs are staged. But you might have to go in there and turn over some chairs. You know what I'm saying?
That's what Jesus,
you may have to do that
did.
In the church. Go into the church. Yes, you got a pastor that may be leading the sheep down the wrong road. Go in there and raise some ruckus. This doesn't stand. This is not going to work.
Yep.
Okay, we're back.
Because guess what, Robert? White male racists are doing just that. They're not walking around and saying, okay, I'm going to get on the corner and get me a 40 ounce, or I just sell out or quit or whatever. These racist little young men are coming up, and they're feeling like if the Republican Party is starting to become soft and listen to black people and other people of color, they want to take it farther to the so-called racist right. They come in and they will become leaders and they will take it. We have to do the same thing. When we see these organizations like the NAACP and other traditional organizations that we've invested all of our blood and our ancestry into, you see them straying. We should have done it with North Carolina Mutual. When you saw North Carolina Mutual falling off the cliff of financial stability, we as a community needed to step into that and say, wait a minute, what is this am I reading in the newspapers about you are in trouble? What do we need to do to raise money? We need to do that in these institutions, in these churches, in these organizations. We need to overthrow some of this top-down leadership that has become corrupt. We need to be in there. And see, that's what the problem is. We get turned off and we walk off and we leave it. And then the enemy comes in and pick it up to his block of power. And so we're just doing it all wrong. And our ancestors are so disappointed. And so that's why I wanted to get on this show and just, after I saw North Carolina Mutual, just being, I'm just looking at all that history That was the tallest building in downtown Durham for decades.
Brother, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, catch your breath, come back. We're going to try to change gears, man, because I tell you, boy, it's just too much to talk about. You know what I mean? This is rough.
You're trying to catch up, man.
I know, man. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. We're going to talk about the reason why we sing, and that's got to be an interesting topic. Also, what we have coming up, got some things coming up. Got the big march coming up in August. And before that, we got that Hall of 5K and a lot of other things going on. Beautiful time to be
all
alive.
Right.
And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation.
Around and around we go, man. Where the world headed, who knows? Who knows? I tell you what, I can tell you, though, it's headed to a bad day for us if we don't pull it together. I'm trying to tell you. Because the evil has become emboldened. And the reason it is so bold is because, first of all, they don't think they have any challenges out there. The challenge is weak. And they have given themselves such a good footing. They've done a lot of gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in seats. They sit there and they know they can say any foolish thing. And it's hard just to believe that there are that many people in a district that think that way. That's scary. That many people in a district of thousands of people actually sit there and listen to those people talk that crazy and go back and vote for them again. Then, well, if not them, they'll elect somebody just as crazy or crazier. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother Freer Radio Show. I'm sure somebody want to call in and cuss us out or say thank you or something. 215-383-3872 is the guest call-in number. 215-383-3872. Anyway, brother.
You know, let me say this real quick while I'm thinking about it, man.
Yes, sir.
I want to say, what can overcome bad laws is good love. If we love each other in our community now, for several generations, decades, the leaders had to ask the enemy, the oppressor, to love us. Generation, we have to ask the community to love us, our own neighbors, our own people. So if we had the audacity to ask the oppressor to love us, my God, we ought to be able to go back home to our community where we were raised in the community that we've been forced into through whether it's systemic poverty or systematic oppression and forced us into some of these most violent communities. We ought to at least be able to go back to the community and come together and heal and build and love each other. And that's what my proposition is. Even if you have bad laws, we can overcome it with good love for each other.
Allow me to say this.
And if we build upon that love, Leon, we will turn those tables over. We will go in there and do whatever it takes to protect each other. But since we are so divided and there is no love for each other, Leon, they don't even care what happens in the legislature right now. Because we are so confused, we are so divided, we are hating each other, we have this dog-eat-dog mentality in our civil rights organizations, in our churches, in our communities. We are hating, we are jealous, we are insecure, we are mean, we are running our children out into the street. There's nobody at home. We have to love each other again. When we love our neighbors as ourselves, Leon, Robert, we can address all of these problems that we have in the General Assembly right now. But if you hate each other, then it's not going to matter because the haters not going to follow the law anyway. They're going to kill you whether you go out and get good laws, get gun laws. They're going to still find a way to kill you and cheat you and hate you. We have to learn to love each other, and then we can overcome all of these atrocities that we are facing right now. I'm not telling them to love the white man. I'm telling them to love your yourself.
I hear you. That is huge, man, to try to reverse hate. You remember back in the day they used to say, man, you go up north, man, people don't speak to each other like y'all be speaking to each other down here. You know how you ever heard people say that before?
Yeah.
Man, you go to New York, man. Nobody be looking at you. Nobody speak to you like that. It's down here now, though. It's like that everywhere.
Yeah. Because we had that village in the South. The South had that love village a little bit tighter than they did up north. We had that love village, man.
You ever do that, Robert? Curtis? Try to look at people so they'll speak. You be walking down the street or something? You try to look at them, see if they'll speak to you. You be wanting to speak. I didn't want to speak, man. Want nobody look at me.
Yeah.
Man, people think you're crazy now. You're going in the street speaking to them.
Yeah.
Hey, what's wrong with that Negro?
Yeah, he's lost his mind.
I've been looking at him. I've been looking at him, boy. I've been looking at him, too. I've been like, yeah, speak to
you
me,
have
man.
You have a charge against you, boy.
Yeah.
I'm telling y'all some real things. I know it's not easy to say, well, we're going to make people love each other. But what we can do is start talking more about our need to love one another. Right now, people don't even mention it, don't even think about it. They just think that they're supposed to be the best they're supposed to be. They get a little position, they become self-aggrandizing, self-exalting. They think it's just about them. Anybody's coming near them, they want to try to destroy, plot, kill. We just need to start promoting the idea of love again. Dr. King did a good job of promoting love and nonviolence as it pertained to racists. We ought to be able to promote the idea of love and nonviolence against each other.
Curtis, you'll never hear a talk show host say this ever again. We got 12 minutes. You want to talk about what's going to happen August 26th?
Yes, please. That is what we want to do on August 26th, Leon. We want to promote the idea of love again. We want to promote the idea of community again. We want to promote the idea of that when we had a love village, all things were possible. We want to promote the idea of setting the example of doing right. Whether you are least or whether you're considered to be the least among society, we can still have the dignity in our society. We can still be the upright ones in our society. We can still have the most faith in our society. So we need to re-embrace each other and re-embrace what brought us this far. We need to stop killing each other. We need to stop falling for everything and not listening to each other. Robert hit on listening, the importance of listening to each other again. And so we want to bring people together on August 26th on a Saturday in Wadesboro, North Carolina. We're not going to try to come down there and act like we have every solution to every problem. We don't. But we do know one thing. We have to do something, and we cannot sit silently as we keep killing each other. We know that much. And so
we also know this. Sure. We can't do all those things. We don't have all those answers. But we're going to have people there. We're going to invite people from all over this region. He'll say all over this
That's
world.
Right.
That have ideas that have programs, that have resources.
That's right.
We had all those people into our town that day, and we're going to be what we call ground zero for healing this problem.
Come on.
We want
and,
to be.
And that's right, Leon.
We want
and
to
that,
heal.
And that's right.
We want to heal.
Amen. Because look,
we're in marching and protesting. We want to heal. This is a march for healing. This is a ride for healing.
I know our people want to heal, Leon. They want to hear this, man. They ain't heard this kind of talk before. They think we got to get out there and talk about everything but healing and loving and caring for each other. But that's what a lot of these young men on the street who are killing and shooting want to hear. They want to hear somebody say, man, you know what? I think you are a great person. I really want to work with you. I like you. I love you. I think you are smart. I think you would be a great leader. I think you would be, you know, they never hear that, man. They always hear what they are not. They always hear that, you know, they're just rejected. They're pushed out of school. They're pushed out of society. They are left hopeless. Sometimes something like loving and showing people that we care about you. If we don't do anything else, maybe we need to march around with our bullhorns and say we care about you. Join us. Be a part of us. We care about you. We want to save your lives. We want to try to help to get jobs. We want to try to help to do something or help to try to get you into a trade where you can learn skills, where you don't have to depend on people who might kill you. We just need to come together, man. Like you said, bring the experts together, give people the opportunity. So we're saying to you, if you are interested in planning this thing, this is the next thing. We are not trying to have a top-down leadership type of thing, a ground-up type of gathering. If you consider yourself amongst the lowest common denominator, the one who's been rejected, the one who's on the ground, the person who's been shot but you didn't die, or the person who's in the family who you had people killing in your family and nobody seems to be listening, We want you to be a part of this. We want you to help lead this. If you were in a gang, but maybe you decided the gang is not for you anymore because you now realize that people are out to kill you and even the people in the gangs are not listening, this is the time to come together, bring that child, bring that mother, bring that father, bring that organization, bring those grassroots people who've been over in the corner with two or three people. They keep meeting, they keep trying to gather, but nobody's coming. You come over in that corner. You come in that corner. You come in that corner, and collectively we come together and make a big voice and a big sound to say, stop killing us. We are not stupid. We did not come here to die. We have a reason to live, and we can do it together.
Curtis, I think it would be safe to say we will be reaching, sending out information on how people can get involved. They keep up with your Facebook posts, all of our social media posts, all of our social media sites. You'll be able to find information on how you can get involved with this event. And if you have ideas you'd like to share, resources you'd like to share.
I would be happy, since we're going to be in Wadesboro, people want to try to contact the Holler Center. You know, if they want to call the Holler Center to know how they can participate in this march, because the Holler Center has become an oasis in the desert of Anson County. We appreciate what the Holler Center is doing. If you would like to contact the Holler Center, if you're already involved, you already have a child at the Holler Center, you already have some knowledge at the Holler Center, feel free to call the Holler Center because we want you to connect where you're comfortable. If we find out your church is involved, we'll say contact your church. You don't have to depend on a particular leader. Just contact whomever you are. And if you're in a church, you might want to recommend to that pastor. Pastor, I heard some people on the radio talking about something that I think you've been telling us we need to get involved in. Can you reach out to Leon Gatewood or Curtis Gatewood? Or I'm looking at them on Facebook. Can I share my page with you? And you might consider talking to the congregation about being involved in this particular activity, because it falls in line with what Jesus says about him coming to set at liberty them that are healed and those that are harmed, those that are oppressed, those that are captive. you know, maybe you can listen and you can be the leader. Remember who's ever listening. You are the leader in this.
Absolutely.
We have no big I's and no little U's. You can
no
be the leader in this.
That's right. Okay, Curtis, we're going to jump off that right quick. I need to talk to Robert Gatewood. Robert, the reason why the Gatewood brothers sing, what is the reason people are wanting to know? Inquiring minds want to know. Why are you guys starting to sing all of a sudden as old as you are?
Well, Leon, it's a mixed bag of goodies. I've said this many times, and I'll continue to say it. It's never too late to start over. Many people have they let their health go to hell. They don't take care of themselves. They feel like when they get to a certain age, if they haven't done it in life, it's too late to do it. Well, I wanted to challenge that notion, because when we started our group back in the 70s, we were really in competition with the Jacksons and the Silvers and the Commodores and the Tavares. We were right in there with them, but we chose a different route. We decided to go to college. We decided to honor our parents and follow their advice. And so we kind of went out separate ways. And then our brother, our dear brother Aaron, who started the group, he passed away. And I know Curtis, Joseph, Leon, myself, Daniel, all of the brothers, it left a void in our heart that never really mended. And one day, I think Leon and I were having this discussion, and the spirit of Aaron was in the room. It was like, look, man, we still have our health. We still in pretty good shape. Let's honor Aaron, and let's show the world that there is such a thing as starting over. To me, that alone was enough reason to sing. Our dad was a minister. We sang mostly gospel music in our younger years. But we decided when we pick up this banner again, we won't forget our gospel roots. But in the spirit of leaders like Curtis and other people who are out here beating the pavement every day, we're going to try to put a message of hope. We're going to sing songs that have a message of social justice, of hope, and inspiration. And we're going to pick up this banner and lift it higher than ever before. And we had the reunion at New Hope Baptist Church, another confluence of factors. We were having our family reunion that weekend. Curtis was invited to be the guest speaker at New Hope, where my dad was a minister for 51 years. And we decided what better way and what better time than to have this reunion. And let me tell you, God was looking down on us. And
yes,
we sang that day like we had never sung before. I mean, remember that this is a group we hadn't sung in 50 years. We got together and we sung that day like we had never sung before, and we have been blessed ever since. And the more we sing, the more we are inspired to sing even more. So, Leon, it's been a long journey, but that is why we sing. We sing it now out of joy that we've been given this opportunity and the outpouring of support that we have received over the last few months. And I just want to thank you to all of the people who support.
Inquiring minds want to know when you're going to sing again, man. When we're going to sing again.
Well, Leon, I want to give you a lot of props. You have been you have really been very instrumental in keeping the brothers busy with bookings. People have been reaching out. We've gotten inquiries from Washington, D.C. We've gotten churches that have invited us to sing. We've gotten the school system now, the library system. Leon has his event coming up, and we're still trying to decide if we're going to be singing at the 5K. That's yet to be determined. We did plan to get together that weekend to work on some of our performances that are coming up down the road. But I would just say, keep your eye on the Gatewood Brothers YouTube channel, the Gatewood Brothers Facebook page. You can just go to gatewoodbrothers.com, and it'll forward you to our Facebook page. And we will be posting when we will be performing. I just want to say thank you to all the brothers. Daniel, who had a great performance at New Hope Baptist Church during that reunion celebration, Joseph and Curtis, who did a lot of the leading, the background, Leon, like I said, have done a great job booking us, and of course the spirit of Aaron Gatewood has really been the guiding force. Brother Aaron, we never forget. We just it's about timing.
That's
and
right.
So many things in life is about timing.
it's our time. It's our season right now. And you brothers have really stepped up to the plate. I have been just admiring the dedication. We have our weekly meetings. We talk about what we're going to do. We talk about each other's lives to make sure everybody's healthy and doing the right thing. We make sure we're supporting each other's projects. Another reason why we're singing. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that you don't see. This is more than about just singing. This is about purpose and supporting and trying to set an example for the community that it's not too late and that if you put your mind to something, you can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. Look, guys, I'm going to close this thing out with a song that we love to sing, Sweet Love. Before I do that, though, man, I want to tell y'all, July the 10th, I don't know why I'm excited about this, so excited about singing at the Anson County Library on July the 10th. I don't know, but, man, I think something special going to happen that day. But anyway, July the 10th, we'll be singing at the Anson County Library about 10 o'clock in the morning. That's the second Sunday. And the second Monday. That's the second Monday. We'll be there live. Hope all our friends will come out and hang out with us that day and we'll make the right thing. We'll be back next week. Come back next Wednesday with a whole new shit. Just me. Good night, everybody.
Show me a river that's so deep. Show me a mountain so high. And all the things you wish come true, yeah. I'd wish the world had all happy people. Then there'd be no more wishing to do. Oh, 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 oh. Sweet love. Oh, 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 oh. Sweet love. Shines over the rainbow, high on a hill, take a ride on a magic carpet, and you know it's for real. The world is filled with all the lonely people, trying to find their way.
know you're searching. Know you're searching for the love, a little peace and understanding. And I know it's been hard trying to find your way, but you got to keep on searching. Cause I want you, and you, 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 stand on up, yes sir, put a little love in your heart, a little heart in your love, together we can make a way. Trying to say, 'cause it's love.